This is the sermon preached on the Feast of Pentecost 2022 in St. Paul's Church in Athens. Also, it's the weekend of the Queen's Platinum Jubilee. The readings are the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2, verses 1 to 21, and Romans 8, 14 to 17, and John 14, 8 to 17. So we have arrived. 50 days after the resurrection of Christ, we reach the moment of the coronation of the apostles and of the first church, proclaiming Jesus Christ as Lord. Vividly, the flames of fire dance on the heads of the apostles like a resplendent crown of burning glory, the jewel of God's economy, as divinity and humanity are fused in one, as participants in the life of the Holy Trinity. One hymn expresses it like this: like quivering tongues of light and flame, upon each on the Spirit came, tongues that earth might hear them call, and fire that love might burn in all. We read in St. Luke's second volume, called the Acts of the Apostles, of the event of the coming of the Holy Spirit. This is a fulfilling of Christ's promise that once glorified, the Spirit of truth will come, and the desire of Christ's deep priestly intercession, that they may all be one, is made possible by this majestic and royal anointing. We are made participators in this new royal life, this priestly life, through baptism, and in the sacrament the Anglican Church calls confirmation, or in the Orthodox tradition, chrismation. In this holy action of bestowing a new dignity on the individual, the Church uses the holy oil of chrism. This comes from the name Christ, which we know in Hebrew as Messiah, in Greek Christos, and in English the translation is Anointed One. Anointing is a primitive religious tradition, and we read of examples of this in the Old Testament. Anointing is almost the spiritual equivalent of placing a crown of some sort on a head. We might even push this image to Jesus being anointed as the crown of thorns is placed on his head. Traditionally, anointing is like a setting apart of an individual to give a special place, but always a place of service to others and to God. When we are anointed at baptism, we're being given a special place among those who have already a special place. One Old Testament example of this anointing is the anointing of Solomon as king of Israel. Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet anointed Solomon king. I could attempt to sing these well-known words set by Handel to his magnificent anthem, but I will spare you this experience. Handel turned those words from the Old Testament into the anthem that we associate with the coronations of British monarchs. No doubt recordings of this piece will be played tens of thousands of times in just as many locations over this Platinum Jubilee weekend. There has been an association between anointing and coronation for many centuries, both before the Christian era and in it. It will be interesting to note, however, that there are only two heads of state in the world, in our own day, who are currently anointed as part of the state ceremony. One is Queen Elizabeth II, and the other is the Bishop of Rome, Pope Francis. Before the main act of coronation of a British monarch, a smaller, humbler, more personal and perhaps more profound action takes place. in the small Edward the Confessor chapel behind the high altar of Westminster Abbey. The new monarch is anointed with the holy oil from a precious ampulla. This might be part of a great occasion of state, but it is a reminder to the new monarch of baptismal dignity and the crowning of the Holy Spirit, just as might happen in an ordinary confirmation service. Though hidden from the cameras, this is a godly moment, not a moment that confers any divinity on the monarch. We left that behind centuries ago, and one king lost his head because of his divine right claims, but rather to represent the call of humanity to be one with God, as Jesus and the Father are one, that we may all be one. It is not an exclusive action, despite being behind closed doors. After all, were not the apostles behind closed doors when the risen Christ came among them and said, "Peace be with you"? The present Queen, whose platinum jubilee we celebrate at this time, has understood this as a godly and faithful person. When I spoke to you last, I asked you all, whatever your religion, to pray for me on the day of my coronation, to pray that God would give me wisdom and strength to carry out the promises that I should then be making. I have been uplifted and sustained by the knowledge that your thoughts and prayers were with me. So today's rightful celebrations for Queen Elizabeth II have a greater setting. What she experienced on the 2nd of June 1953 as a participation in the coronation was a reminder, perhaps, of what had happened on the 50th day after the resurrection of Jesus. This universal anointing of God's Holy Spirit is a festival of diversity and unity, and should be the foundation of life in the Church and in the world. The diversity of those caught up in the first Pentecost experience, so expertly named by the ambassador in the first reading this morning, is a proclamation that by the Holy Spirit, no nation can have an exclusive claim to God. No gender, no skin colour. So in the light and the majesty of God's Holy Spirit, no nation, such as Russia, can claim the exclusive favour of God over and against Ukrainians. No justice is established until there is no discrimination between men and women, black skin or white. No single human identity can prevail, but there should be a genuine rejoicing in the unity of diversity, blessed at Pentecost. For it is in this context that all the nations heard the word and works of God in their own native language. With the holy apostles, Mary, the mother of Jesus, the Medes, the Elamites, the Cappadocians, the Pontians, and all the others who experienced in their diversity the unity of the Holy Spirit, we pray that we may all be clothed in the royal garments of the Holy Spirit. I believe it will be what Elizabeth II is also thinking at this time. Let holy charity mine outward vesture be, and lowliness become mine inner clothing. True lowliness of heart, which takes the humbler part, and o'er its own shortcomings weeps with loathing. Amen. And may God save the Queen.